Hey, to whoever may need this nugget of encouragement, things will be alright, so quit your worry. I get it, the odds can stack back against the wall, but even consider it such, know you'll stand tall. Sat and watch from the sidelines one too many times. Wicked games to play make me want to lose my mind. Found solitude knowing it'll be over soon.
Hi everyone, welcome to Contrary to the Culture. I am your host, Jaysa King. This podcast has been created solely to explore the depths of cultures around the nation. We will have interviews from experts, challenge the mainstream ideas surrounding the cultural identities in our society, as well as make sure we touch on misconceptions we have about. All episodes are brought to you on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. on all major podcast platforms, not to mention my website, audacityofwomen.com. There, under the podcast tab, you can find transcripts from every episode. In order to know how we're doing, I need you to show us some love. Hit that subscribe button, like this video, comment your experiences, but most importantly, turn on your notifications so you don't miss any of the episodes. Now that that's done, let's jump into our episode. Welcome back to Contrary to the Culture. I am Jaysa King, and today's episode, we have the amazing Sarah. She's going to jump into her background, right? So we know with Contrary to the Culture that we are trying to expose the different perspectives and experiences that people have had across the nation, across the world, which is going to be super fun to talk about in this episode, with how they've experienced different things. So we have some awesome topics. Today's title is Being Honest About the World. And again, when she gets into her background, we'll be able to talk about how that connects with one another and just really go into the topic. You know, I'm big on not really explaining too much because I want you to experience the episode. So make sure you stay tuned and let's listen to what we have to say. Okay. So obviously, I want to thank you so much for jumping on with me and doing this topic. I know this has to be a lot on your plate.
Hi.
I'm so excited.
Me too. So thank you so much for inviting me.
Of course. Thank you for being interested. I love it. So tell me a little bit about your background.
It's like a job interview. So first of all, when you proposed me to be on your podcast, I was really thrilled by the culture part because I'm a foreigner. I'm Italian. I'm native Italian. And I moved in Las Vegas, the United States, in 2008. And so I've encountered a lot of difficulties. And so talking about culture, no matter how we are all the same in the big scheme of who we are. However, there are some cultural barriers. At least I really experienced some difficulties in relation related to that. I was called by Cirque du Soleil. I don't know if you're familiar with the company. Have you heard about Cirque du Soleil? So I've been a dancer, I can't say all my life because I'm still pretty young. But so far, I've been dancing in Italy in a lot of companies, contemporary. That's my background, ballet. And then I worked a lot in Italy, different events, musicals. But there was something missing in my little dancing world, because dancing was really part of my life and I really enjoyed just doing that. I didn't care about anything else. I didn't care about having a boyfriend. I mean, I had a few boyfriends when I was younger, but my focus was really dancing and having an impact or making an impact to people through my dancing, because for me, dancing was an expression of my truth. And so I really, really spent a lot of like time and energy physically and mentally to do that. But then I think I've exhausted my work in my country, and I wanted to speak English. I wanted to speak a different language. I wanted to go abroad. And so I don't want to tell you how I got to Cirque du Soleil, but all the circumstances came to me and someone mentored me and they trust me. Like, because in your life, you need one yes, you need one person that really trusts you and have confidence in you and they see something beyond what they see. And this is going to be, you know, in relation to your subject, you know, the way we see the world, the way we see someone, if we just stop at the surface, or we really want to go beyond that and see who the person really is. And so I was very fortunate to meet this choreographer, director, and really it built a great role for me for this musical in Italy. And then he said, hey, Sarah, why don't you work for Cirque du Soleil? Why don't you audition for Cirque du Soleil? And they were really underestimate my skills myself, because Cirque du Soleil, they're all acrobats. Have you ever seen a show?
No, I've never seen a show, but I know what it is. And I know that it has to be kind of, it makes you worry that you're not up there. You know, I definitely understand that mindset.
You mean like you see those people like burning like a pretzel and jumping in the pool like the great show in Las Vegas. I was like, I can't swim. I'm a little bit afraid of height. I mean, you can even watch me. I can't even do the flip because I'm like 30. I'm not that I wasn't or I'm not. I mean, you're all different dancers. I should use the present tense. I'm a very unique dancer, like not just small movements, like my strength was like big jump, but like very masculine and androgynous, like my way of dancing. So very strong. However, I wasn't doing like acrobatic stuff. So that being said, I said, no, don't worry, you know, Cirque du Soleil has a lot of different shows. You can be good for one of those shows. Just get ready, prepare a demo, a show reel. So I got myself pumped up by my mentor, and I did it. I auditioned for that. They called me for the audition after sending my show reel, and I went to Lean for a couple of days. So I got into their database. And then 3 years later, so 2 years and a half later, they called me for their show in Las Vegas. And in that moment, my life changed under different aspects.
Oh, that is so amazing. I know exactly that mindset you have to get out, because it's like you said, it's a completely different country. So on top of the difficulties you have to face there, you don't feel like you're in a position to even apply. And I think that that's something we always get into despite culture, not thinking, oh, well, on paper, I may not match up with people that have been doing it for years. But in reality, someone saw you. I think that is an amazing story.
Yes. And I don't know if I called it, like, because I used to visualize a lot. I mean, still now, but in the past, I think I was more driven because I really wanted to dance. And now I'm still driven, but for different priorities, not for dancing. But so maybe this is something, maybe I don't know if we can talk about it, but I thought, I always thought, okay, because I visualized, because I really wanted to be in this company and working for them. So all the things came to me, a lot of attraction. I believe in those things. But then in retrospect, I'm thinking there are so many people who are putting the same amount of energy and effort that I did. And maybe they wanted to work for Cirque du Soleil and it didn't happen. But maybe they got something else that was better and more suitable for them.
Right.
So my mom used to say, oh, you were lucky. You were lucky. And I don't believe in luck. At that time, I didn't believe in luck so much. I always believed in the amount of effort you put into something, but for sure, probably there must be some sort of, let's call it fortuitous moments, so like serendipity moments that came to me, and I was meant to be with Sir. I was meant to be in the United States, but I've never thought about coming to America. I mean, there are a lot of Italians, and I met them here saying, you know, LA was my dream. I always wanted to be an actress. I wanted to go to New York. And I've never said that. Never. I mentioned Beverly Hills because I was in love with Beverly Hills 90210. I was in love with that TV series. So I remember one time I went to see my mom. And I went to the kitchen. Sorry. I went to the kitchen. I said, Mom, when I'm 18, I want to visit Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. But I just said it because I was in love of this TV show, but I really dreamed of being in America, the American dream, maybe France, England, and here I am on the other side of the ocean, you know, Las Vegas first, a city based on gambling and crazy shows. And I don't know, I felt a fish out of water.
And that's so true. Yeah, that is so true. I'm originally from California, so I went from city, and now I live in Georgia.
Wait, in California, where were you born?
I was born in San Bernardino. It's south.
Okay. Yeah, San Bernardino, right?
So that's what it was from. And that's, you know, the small jump for me, but it was so different. I grew up in the city with, you know, people. And then I came to Georgia and I'm like, same thing, fish out of water. Like this.
Oh, really? What was for you the difference?
The difference would be the cultural aspects. So in California, to be completely open, I didn't know I was Black, just being completely honest. And not in the sense like I knew, but I didn't know to walk in that experience or even know how to embrace certain things. So when I moved to Georgia, it's actually something I talk about in another episode. When I moved to Georgia, it was a wake-up call because there were more people like me. There were more people that could teach me a little bit more about myself. So for me, in the cultural respect, that was a complete culture shock.
I understand. So in Georgia, you found people more open towards you than here in California. I felt that. Well, for me, maybe it was a bigger jump because first of all, in Europe, in Italy, you see a lot of people walking on the street. It's very, very colorful. It's a colorful country. People in the afternoon go in the cafe. We love to talk, spending time with friends. It's very important, that part of life, like friends, having a chat. And not a chat related to business, as they do here, especially in LA. It's a city based on entertainment, I wanted to say something in English. I forgot because I did an interview with the director. I interview people for my social media. I kind of do what you do, but different topics. And when I interviewed the director of Catwoman, he used this phrase that is printed in my mind. He said, LA is like an office, he said. And I want to honor and say what he said, Peter Escobar, it's like an office. People come and go. They come for a certain amount of time and then they leave. So there's no time to really embrace other culture deeply or like having a friend and spending time with that person, because in the back of their mind, in the back of our mind, we know that we might go back to our country. So we have a limited time to make it, right? We have to make it in LA. We have to become someone, like we have to be, you know, our face has to be on the billboard, on the bus. It's like, I had an Italian friend who we were talking, we were in a cafe and a bus came by and she mentioned her name, like as if I would have said, you know, Sara Zanelletti, like the next star. And she said about herself, like, but that's what the city does. You want to see yourself make it big and having your name on everyone's mouth, kind of, right? And or if not, then no, I'm not saying this is true for everyone. But you're very, you're pulled into this circle, you're pulled into the system, the quality of money and fame and all of that. And I've never been in that way as a dancer, but I've learned not to be in that way, but kind of juggling and understanding the culture, the LA culture. And again, I'm speaking about this city because I've never lived in another American city beside Las Vegas for Cirque du Soleil. But it was so hard to meet friends, have friends, because everyone was wanted something like, what'd you do? Can you help me? Or like, can I help you? No, then I'm not going to waste time for you. Like that was the subtext. They wouldn't say that to you. But at the beginning, that's the way I felt it. But I think sometimes we see the world in that way or people in that way because we're very vulnerable and insecure. And because right now it's totally different. I have a few friends, I can count them, but they are real. And they made me think, like, why didn't it happen before? Maybe I wasn't ready. I was still trying to figure out the city. I was too focused on myself. I want to be an actress. I want to do this. And now this change has changed. And as a consequence, even the everyone around me changed. So I have, let's say, better relationships. Because I'm more confident about myself, I think. And so when you're confident about yourself, everything changed in around you. There are more, you get people that are more confident about themselves, that they don't want something from you. Or if they do, I don't see them in that way anymore. Right. Because now I see them as a collaboration. But before, I felt like I didn't have anything to offer.
Right.
That's the way I felt. I felt so like small in this big magical, crazy city called Los Angeles, the Angels. Not many angels.
No, you're fine. I'm enjoying it. And it's, I guess I want to know, so with your transition from Italy to here, going from being able to enjoy a moment to everything is about something. Like you said, you're trying to get something from everyone. Someone is always needing something. How did you adjust, or what were your thoughts coming into this new environment?
I just kept focusing on what I really wanted without being sucked into other people's mind or world. And I've always been someone who had looked for the truth in everything. And it's, somehow it's good, it's great. On the other hand, it can be exhausted because always looking for truth. And honestly, you can get hurt because some people, they only look, yes, for their own truth, but they might lie. And even if it's a little lie, like, and it isn't a big deal. But for me, I'm looking for people who can give you like their heart. And because I'm trying to be open and to help, because I think even helping, I help myself too. But I really, really based everything I've done so far on the truth. So without changing myself, looking for what is good for me and adjust myself to what is the real passion in my life, and not what, as I said before, what other people maybe wants from you. And I got caught a little bit in that because, as I said before, you know, it's a city about driven by fame and what you have. So it's very easy to compare yourself with others and looking at what you don't have versus what you have. So I have to work on that. And so I've started then teaching Italian, and first of all, I liked it, but I thought I was moving away from the entertainment world.
Yeah.
Because I always said, wait, I'm a dancer. I wasn't sur de soleil. I've done this. I worked a lot in Italy in those shows. And now I'm sitting in front of my computer teaching Italian. And that was a choice, by the way, because everyone would say, why don't you teach dancing? No. If I stop dancing, then I'm going to change career. And so it was a choice. It wasn't dancing. Teaching dancing wasn't my call. But what we think is taking us away or further away from our dreams, instead is the opposite. We're still in the game and we're getting closer, because teaching Italian, especially to a lot of people in the film industry, I met more people in that way than probably doing fast. And he helped me, first of all, to communicate with everyone indistinctly with high-end clientele, like a few celebrities, and still maintaining who I am. And also the beauty of it is that they got to know who I really am. They get to know who I am because I'm teaching my language. I have to be truthful. I can't lie. It's not something that I don't know. Like, and for sure you need to like it. You need to like to talk. And as you can tell, I love to talk. But I discovered a whole world, and that helped me to write my book, and teaching helped me to interview people for my social media podcast. So I've discovered other skills that I always had but never discovered because I only focused on dancing. But now I'm like, you know, I'm broad, like so much broader. I'm embracing everything else then because of that. So whoever is listening, if they think I'm doing something that doesn't serve any purpose to me, I would say that's not true. Anything we're doing every day, it's an opportunity to build ourselves, to grow, and find something else that we would never discover before. So every job, every little gig, something that we don't like much, it's a little break who helps us to build like the castle.
I like that
in that way.
Yes, that is so true. And it's crazy. I had a guest earlier this week that kind of said the same thing, that especially in America, we have a habit of kind of like a cookie cutter life, that we are taught from birth that you have to get to a certain point. So you want to make sure you have this type of career, whether it's a teacher, a lawyer, or a doctor. Those are the main three that's your goal. And from there, you want to be able to retire on time and travel and do all these things and have your 2-3 kids and get married. But when someone does something different, it's seen as, you know, going off the path or you're not going to make it. And it's a lot of discouragement. And people don't understand that it may be something small to someone else, but like you pointed out, you love what you do. You didn't realize it. You didn't know that this was where you were supposed to go. You didn't even want to come to America. That wasn't your thought. But everything happens for a reason, and you should embrace it. And I think that with this platform, I've been able to meet people in the same respect that weren't the same status quo, that weren't trying to be like everyone else. They found their passions, they found their strengths, and they were able to give it to the world by saying, you can do it a different way and still live this amazing luxury life that everyone else wants. So I definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Of what you're saying, it's exactly that. That's the point, Jason, because everyone can say what they want, but at the end, you are the one facing yourself and getting up and waking up and looking at yourself in the mirror. Am I happy? That's the answer. I mean, that's the question. Am I happy? Yes or no? Am I happy with what I'm doing? And believe me, in Italy, it's the same. When I came to America, I felt I'm the only child, and I felt I kind of being almost disrespectful with a lot of sense of guilt towards my parents, because we were like, wait, you're not. Even my mom said, aren't you happy with us? You go so far away. But that was not the point. I got an opportunity I didn't know that would have been in the US, but I wanted to work with that company that was Cirque du Soleil, and that was my chance to realize my dream. And the other thing is, I've always been afraid of having regrets, and that's why I took it. And they gave me 1 month to decide, because they needed another dancer, and I was also a co-star character with Criss Angel for that show. So I didn't have a lot of time to think. And you have 1 month, Sarah. We went through the negotiation and everything. So, okay, yes or no. And if it's a no, I'm going to regret it. If it's a yes, I might not like it, but I can come back. So take the opportunity. And if you don't like any opportunity, if you don't like it, you can step back and go back to your home, and your family is going to be there. So, I mean, hopefully they understand that would make you happy. And it's based on everything is based on our experience, the perception we have about the world. Like for me, that was a great choice. For other people, they might think that I would have lost the love for my family. There was someone in my family saying that, like a relative saying, oh, if I would have a daughter moving away and going so further away from me, I wouldn't be happy. It wouldn't make me happy because I think they might lose the love for me. And this person doesn't have any children. So, well, that was a big, like a fight with my mom, a little. But it's all based on how we see the world. I see a world full of great people, different culture that I want to discover, not just my culture. And I really want to find out about other people. We're all human beings. I love human beings. I really love because I feel we're all the same, just with different paths. And yes, there are people that make it, they become famous, but there's also with fame it comes responsibility. We cannot only see the little how you say point of the iceberg, you know, the top, we can't just see the top of the iceberg, right?
Yeah.
There's the big part under the water, right? And we don't know what those people are facing. They earn their fame, they work so much. And for some people, fame isn't meant to be their thing, but they are meant to touch other people's hearts in a different way. So it's important for me just try to support or inspire as much as I can. And in Italy, sorry, I got out of tangent, but in Italy, it's so important, the family, same what you were saying before, getting married, a child, like, and I think all the world is pretty much the same with those kind of thoughts. But eventually, at the end, it's really what makes you happy because you are the one living with your heart. Your heart is beating for you.
Mm.
The other people won't hear your heartbeat. You hear your heartbeat when you get sick, when you get in anxiety because you're not in the right environment. You're dealing with your body, with your symptoms. And so who cares what other people are saying? It's about you. Focus on what you want and what empowers you.
Mm-hmm.
And what empowers you in order to empower others. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I definitely appreciate that. I think you hit the topic exactly where you needed to when you said how we all are experiencing the same things. Every culture is literally doing the same exact things. That's the point of this entire platform, is just to expose that we are all just trying to figure out where we fit and how we're going to get to that position with still being true to ourselves. Because again, it's so easy to be influenced by, like you pointed out, LA is a lot. You have the glitzing all over the place. How could you not get distracted and just want to get to this master point?
You really need to be strong mentally. And that's why meditation, working out, exercise, and anything that really makes your mind strong, mm-hmm. is so important. It's important. And you need to keep solid your value and who you are. And it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful to meet other people from different cultures who are going to add the brick I was talking about, the little brick into your life and building this big castle that is your career. Like, you learn so much from different people coming from different backgrounds, different nationality. I love all of this. It can't just be my country, my culture. It's too limited. But again, it's based on perception and perspective of the world. For some people, I heard some people saying, I'm happy staying home, not traveling and being with my dog. Yeah. And the person is happy. My dad is a workaholic. He loves to work. He said, but dad, don't you want to go exploring the world? And by the way, he has never been on a plane. He's afraid to fly. Yeah, exactly. So that's one big thing. Train, sometimes. Car, sometimes. He loves to work, going back home, watching TV.
Yeah.
Reading a lot. And I asked him, because I'm always on the go, you know, different ideas. Like, but aren't you, why you always work and why don't you go out exploring and doing something different? You're in your, you know, 80s. I shouldn't say when in his 80s. He doesn't want to say his age, really. It's okay. I didn't mention his name. And he answered and he said, but if I'm happy like this, why should I do all of the other things? I'm happy in the, like this. So that's his world. He's happy. My perception when I see him just working, I'm like, oh my God, he's missing so much. But no, he's fine. So everything is based on what we want and makes us happy. If you're happy just staying home and being with your, you know, in and taking care of your garden, and it's okay. That I don't want to pass the message like that you have to jump all over the places on from one plane to the other one, discovering the world and talking to everyone. That's what I love. But you have to find what really gives you strength and gives you serenity, like if not happiness, but makes your mind more like in peace and strong, especially with all those, you know, big news and sad news that we hear every day. Like, that's why our mind needs to be like very, very
fortified.
What?
Like fortified.
Has to be very, strong and in love and passion, having passion for what you do.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. I definitely do. I could not agree more. Before I let you go, please tell us about your book. I am very curious.
Oh, my book is in Italian right now. My English version is here on my desktop. It's there. It has been translated, but I don't have a publisher yet. So for the moment, it's in Italian. So for some Italian listeners, so who speaks Italian, it's written in a very easy, in a pretty easy way. So maybe they can understand. The title is Non ho chiesto l'America, which the literal translation is I didn't ask for America, but the English title is going to be different.
Okay.
And it's based on my experience. You know, when they say usually the first book is based on your biography, who you are, what you did. So it's kind of based on my experience, but some parts are fictionalized. So but most of the book is based on the adventure of Julia, an Italian girl who's dancing in Italy, as I did. So Julia is my alter ego, let's put it this way, and she has lived great adventure. She comes to the US, she gets married in Las Vegas, in a chapel, with Elvis Presley taking her to the aisle, like walking her through the aisle and singing Love Me Tender. She didn't get married to Elvis Presley. She got married to someone else. But all those surreal things that are very odd for an Italian girl. And yeah, it's a fun book. All the some humiliation and the despair and not winning, not be able to really stand up sometimes, but she had to and live another victory and then another loss and then winning again, and all of this up and down, like no matter what she does, she meets and she has problems. So yeah, that's what the book is about. So it's about dancing, about discovering yourself, it's about the US cultural barriers, humiliation, but then some revenge towards herself.
Yeah,
and there's no killing. And it's fun. So it's and I wrote it when I felt very, very lonely. My first years in LA were like in solitude. So I started writing all the weird things that were happening to me. I wrote a lot of notes, and then from those notes, I said, hey, can become a book, and maybe I can inspire someone with my experience. And so that maybe people can come to LA and live this city and really experience what this city is. But then the character goes to Korea as well, because I went to Korea, I worked in Korea. That was another great experience when I, in Asia, great. I really needed, like, my heart was getting so dry from LA. And then when I went to Korea, I started reading again. I was dancing, everyone was nice. And by the way, not because people here weren't nice in LA. They were, but I think I just got caught with the Hollywood system.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, okay, I have to follow my steps little by little. So that was Korea really helped me to come back to LA more energetic.
Oh, that's so awesome.
It was great. It's a great country. I recommend you to visit it. Yes.
Oh, nice. Okay, so now that you open the door, I have one more question. I promise I'll leave it alone. So can you tell me a little bit of your difficulties or cultural experiences you had when you first came?
First of all, the language. Mm-hmm. I studied English at school, but one thing is knowing those little phrases. Mm-hmm. The cat is on the table. The cat is under the table. Oh, I'm joking, but this is what everyone would say. Yeah, this is what you study at school. So, no, there was a little bit more than that. But at that time, we didn't do a lot of English conversation at school. We would do it just once a week with the native English speaker, but it wasn't enough. So learning all the American slangs, that was hard. So I really close myself, like, yeah. I would go in a corner and I'm reading my Italian magazine. It was a Psychology Today was the title. It was in Italian, so I would finish the rehearsal and then go in a corner by myself, because I didn't want to talk to the other dancers. They were all Americans. I was the only Italian. And out of all the 8 Cirque du Soleil shows in Vegas, I was the only Italian in Vegas. For Cirque du Soleil, like, so I couldn't even meet another Italian. And that was hard because I love to communicate and I couldn't, and I felt I wasn't myself.
Yeah,
I wasn't myself. I couldn't really be free to talk. And so that was a big thing to overcome. Mm-hmm. So beside that was working for a big company where they really teach you to be very humble, to don't talk too much, to just listen and watch. Because the first 2 months, they didn't put me on stage. They just said, okay, you stay in the house, you know, where the audience is, you stay there and you take notes and you just watch. And I did it for a month and a half. No, they didn't bring me on stage for the rehearsal. So I was like questioning, okay, they pay me, but maybe it doesn't make any sense. What am I going to start dancing? And then eventually they say, okay, now you can rehearse with us. Because I arrived when the cast was formed. So I arrived 2 weeks later, or 2 or 3 weeks later. So they're already starting rehearsing. And I completely understood the reason why, but it was very frustrating. And so that was another big fear. And I had to be so patient, because as a person, I used to jump, you know, and say, I want to do things. Why am I here? Why do I have to be seated here? I'm here to dance. I'm here to express myself. And then I was like, I felt like in a straitjacket. Really, that was the feeling. And by the way, there was a straitjacket because we performed with an illusionist. So there was a straitjacket that I had to wear. So the fear became reality.
Yeah.
And but that was a big thing. And the food was also good. I wasn't really keen for myself. Yeah. So I had to adapt to that too. But I've always traveled even when I was in Italy to different countries. So I can adapt myself to an environment. But here it was a little bit worse. And then the third thing was feeling really lonely. And I've always been independent.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, hey, great, I'm going to the US, no problem. You know, I'm independent. I've been traveling by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, it's going to be, I'm strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, for the first time, it hit me hard, like the solitude, because not having a good friend that you can talk, maybe, or you can see, even once every 2 weeks or once a month, and just everything was on Skype. So that was what I was doing. And I wanted to see my family sometimes, and I couldn't. So it really, really, it was a rock on me. Solitude really was pushing me down, and it shrank me. And I really had to work on that and say, okay, I'm here to work. And then for sure, I've never been the one like locking the door and stay in my room. So I studied. I went to college and I studied English, and then I started some acting classes in Las Vegas. So when I had time, that I was doing that. But we were having 10 shows a week with 2 days off. And the first year was just rehearsals. So I was very, you know, concentrating on excuse me, on work. I didn't have time to think about anything else. But once the show started, that's when I had more freedom. Mm-hmm. And how to spend my days off. So I would go out in a spa and try to treat myself.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I wasn't enjoying the city. As I told you, in Italy, you go in a cafe, you see a lot of people walking in Las Vegas, like here in LA, like big streets, everyone is in the car. So the sense of solitude is even higher.
Yeah.
Right. So you really need a circle of friends that makes you feel good and you feel good with them. And so that was pretty, pretty difficult. Yeah. And then you get used to it, because at the end, or you go back where you came from, or you just stay and you keep playing, you know, that game. And I decided to do that. I could have went back to Italy and sort of a light dancer, you know, doing a workshop as a teacher, but I didn't want to. I didn't want to. So I decided to stay here, changing career and starting all over, but learning much more again from my perspective.
Yeah.
So I felt I learned more than just dancing and like with the teaching and the interviews, all those things that came when I decided I didn't want to dance anymore. After Cirque du Soleil, I didn't want to dance anymore, but I didn't have anything else under my belt.
Right.
Because I've only danced. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, what am I going to do now? So trying to figure out what other skills I had, and then I needed to make money fast. So I said, okay, I'm Italian. I can teach Italian.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I've never done it. So then I got in touch with the Language Institute in LA, and they started giving me a little bit of clients, and then I had some savings. So I started teaching, working in a restaurant briefly. That's not my job. And then what else did I do? In a store.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Korea, so I felt better, like they paid me for those 3 months. That was good. Give me some oxygen,
yeah,
money wise. And then my Italian teaching picked up a little bit more, but it's fluctuating, right? It isn't stable. as the nature of the job. What do you do, Jaysa? Do you do another?
Right now, this is it. I run
right.
I do a couple things underneath my organization. So I have this. I do events for women. I have another platform within my website where we connect different groups to provide resources, again, support for women. I have a nonprofit I'm putting together for children. So I have a little bit.
Okay, you have a lot. Yeah, it's all related. It's great. And if you come to LA, I'd like to meet you.
Yes.
I love what you're doing. I really love it.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate this. I really enjoyed your story. So again, guys, this was Being Honest About the World. I am super appreciative of this interview. It was absolutely amazing. I loved hearing your story, as we just said. I would love to make sure that they can connect with you. Like, everyone knows all my information is on our website under our guest tab. But I want you to go ahead and please, Sarah, share with us how they can get in contact with you.
Yes, thank you so much again, Jaysa, to give me this opportunity to talk to your followers. They can follow me on Instagram at Sarah_Zanelletti, Z as in zebra, A-N-E-L-L-E-T-T-I. I'm on LinkedIn. My name and last name is Sarah Zanelletti. And I noticed there's another one with my last name. Anyways, you see my photo, blonde hair, and the bangs.
Yes, yeah.
And you're going to recognize it.
Of course, yeah.
I'm on Facebook. I'm on TikTok. You won't see me dancing on TikTok, really.
Oh, man.
No. Well, there are some videos of me dancing, but usually my main platform is Instagram, and also I have a YouTube channel, but are the same videos that I have on Instagram. So.
Of course, yeah.
And also, if anyone wants to learn Italian, I'm an Italian instructor for whoever wants to have fun learning the language, or if they're preparing a trip to Italy. My website is www.myitalianlessons.com. You can download my free handouts, and then you can send me an email. And I also have another Instagram account, which is My Italian Lessons, and they can check it out. I'm posting videos for like my Italian lessons, like our little tips, Italian tips about the restaurant, about like going to a beauty salon, the things that you would say in Italian if you're in Italy, stuff like that. So you can check it out.
How awesome! I'm definitely gonna share that because I may go in there and see what I can find too.
Sì, per favore, grazie.
Exciting. And also your book, as soon as it's available in English, please, I would love to.
Sì. Yeah, for now it's in Italian on Amazon, on all the digital stores, the Italian digital stores, but also on Barnes & Noble, but it's in Italian. When it's going to come out in English, I'll let you know. Sì. Certo, of course.
I appreciate you. I hope
grazie. Molto, very much, very much. Grazie mille. Ciao. Ciao, ciao. Ciao, ragazzi. Ciao, Jaysa. Grazie.
All right, that was our episode. Thanks so much for listening to Contrary to the Culture. Again, I am your host, Jaysa King. You can find full show notes from today's episode at audacityofwomen.com under the podcast tab. Let's connect on Instagram at justjaysapodcast. There you will find clips from our various segments and more information about yours truly. If you're loving the podcast, I'd be so honored if you go ahead and hit that subscribe button and leave me a review. Until next time.
Ever need a boost, count on me for the 1-2. Trouble don't last when the tough get going. Baby, all we do is win, so show me my opponent. Adversity, doubt, stress, could care less, cause how we handle those like an S on our chest. Super proud of how we held it down.